Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Gold by Moonlight, Lessons for Walking Through Pain by Amy Carmichael, narrated by Anne Plosnick. Publisher's Note: This audiobook contains references to visuals present in the print and ebook editions of the book. Foreword. When one's thoughts are running on any special line, I expect we have all noticed this, many little rays fall upon it. I had been thinking of Beggars of the True, those lovely shadows of heavenly things which are everywhere about us, when I came upon this sentence in Amiel's Journal Intime. Everything is growing transparent to me. I see the types, the foundation of beings, the sense of things. Just then some photographs of the Austrian Tyrol and the Bavarian Highlands, found in the print and ebook versions of the book, were given to me. These, as I looked at them, fell into a kind of order, and became for me figures of the true, transparent, full of the sense of things. Then came the thought of others, and so this book. And therefore, if any word be therein that stirreth thee or comforteth thee more to the love of God, thank God, for it is his gift and not of the world. And if it comfort thee not, or else thou take it not readily, study not too long thereabout, but lay it beside thee till another time, and give thee to prayer or to another occupation. Take it as it will come, and not all at once. A.C. Donabore Fellowship, Tirunal Valley District, South India. 1. The Sense of Things. I see in this valley and mountain a general view of our years. We stand, when we are young, on the sunny slope among the pines, and look across an unknown country to the mountains. There are clouds, but they are edged with light. We do not fear as we dip into the valley. We do not fear the clouds. Thank God for the splendid fearlessness of youth. And as for older travellers whom love has led over hill and dale, they have not been given the spirit of fear. They think of the way they have come since they stood on that bright hillside, and their word is always this: there are reasons, and reasons for hope and for happiness, and never one for fear. The mist and the clouds and the light in the clouds work together like separate notes in a tune. Even the shadows of the pine trees on the grass have their part to play in making the picture. There is nothing that could be left out without loss. And it is so with the picture of our lives. We are called to believe this, and to act as though we believed. We were never meant to be like the host of the Egyptians when their chariot wheels fell off so that they drove them heavily. We have the presence and the promises of God. We are meant to march to that great music. Wrapped in the clouds and hidden by the mist is all that makes up life. Its woods and ravines, its upland meadows where we go with much contentment, its hills called difficulty, and its delectable mountains. In brief, its greater and smaller joys and sorrows, its trials of faith, disciplines, batterings of soul and body. All that our Saviour, in his story of the two builders, calls rain and floods and wind and the vehement beating of a stream. There is no house of life out of reach of the stream. So to be surprised when the rain descends and the floods come and the winds blow and beat upon the house as though some strange thing happened unto us is unreasonable and unjust. It so miscalls our good Master, who never told us to build for fair weather, or even to be careful to build out of reach of floods. "We must go through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God," is not a fair-weather word. "My son, if thou comest to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation. Ye will not yet leave to steal quietly to heaven in Christ's company without a conflict and a cross." Even so, even though we must walk in the land of fear, there is no need to fear. The power of his resurrection comes before the fellowship of his sufferings. 2. The Dark Wood, Illuminated. 1. We need the wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and the bread which strengtheneth man's heart as we begin our journey. The way is as various as this world of ours, this outer world, that is, the pictured scroll of worlds within the soul, and sooner than we expected to see it, a dark wood crosses our path and seems to forbid us to go on. And sometimes we forget immediately to look up to the light that pours into the wood from high above the trees, making it far more radiant than it is dark. The clouding of the inward man, which often follows accident or illness, may be like a very dark wood. It can be strangely dulling and subduing to wake up to another day that must be spent between walls and under a roof, and a body that is cumbered by little pains, pains too small to presume to knock at the door of heaven, but not too small to wish they might, can sadly cramp the soul, unless it finds a way entirely to forget itself. Or the trouble may be the loss of means. Poverty can be a darkness. The heavy overshadowing of bereavement is a very dark wood. Always wishing to consult one who is not here, groping by myself with a constant sense of desolation, as Queen Victoria in the days of her early widowhood said piteously to Dean Stanley, whom she could trust to understand. At such a time the miles that lie before us may appear one long night, without the companionship which made the 12 months of the year, like the 12 gates of the city, each several month a pearl. The partings of the nursery, we have all known them. Here a pretty baby lies, sung asleep with lullabies. Pray he silent and not stir the easy earth that covers her. The old words are new somewhere every day, and there are those partings, like that of the poet and his dear son Jervis, whose winning love to me was like a friendship far above the course of nature or his tender years. For Jervis was only 7. Father and little son have been together for 300 years, and the pain of parting has long ago been blotted out. But in many a home there is a raw, red wound, and the healing of that wound seems very far away. There are darker woods than illness, poverty, bereavement. There is the gloom wrapped about every thought of some catastrophe that has shaken the fabric of life to its foundations. There has not yet been full recovery from that shock. Broken hearts are everywhere in this world of tragedies. How many there are, like the king in Samaria, wearing hidden sackcloth. Outside, the gay purple robe, which rent, reveals the secret. The people looked, and, behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. 2. Just after Amiel, of whom it was said that he came to his desk as to an altar, received at the hands of his doctors the medical verdict which was his arrêt de mort, he wrote in his Journal Intime, "On waking it seemed to me that I was staring into the future with wide startled eyes. It is indeed to me that these things apply. Incessant and growing humiliation, my slavery becoming heavier, my circle of attention steadily narrower. What is hateful in my situation is that deliverance can never be hoped for, and that one misery will succeed another in such a way as to leave me no breathing space, not even in the future, not even in hope. All possibilities are closed to me, one by one. And he felt it difficult for the natural man to escape from a dumb rage against all this. It is indeed not only difficult, it is impossible. But he found the way of victory over the natural. One word is worth all others. Thy will, not mine, be done. And he wrote at last, To will what God wills brings peace. But are such things as these which Amiel describes the will of God at all? The honest heart cannot be content with platitudes. An enemy hath done this is a word that reaches far and touches more than tears. If an enemy has done it, how can it be called the will of God? 3. We do not know the answer to that question now, but we have sidelights upon it, such as the vision in Revelation. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, victory to apparent defeat. And that other which shows the beast ascending out of the bottomless pit and making war and being victorious, but only for a little while. And as we rest our hearts upon what we know, the certainty of the ultimate triumph of good, leaving what we do not know to the love that has led us all our life long, the peace of God enters into us and abides. And then we see our light, and in that light we shall see light. We shall see him who is the light of the world, and so of all the woods in the world. The entrance to the wood is dark, but we quickly pass through into light. The long, pure rays of that conquering light are interwoven with the tall stems of the trees, even as warp and woof, threads bright and dark, are interwoven in the web of our lives. But it is the bright threads that we shall see most clearly when we look upon the finished web. We are called to light, not to darkness. So the forest in sunrise is a figure of the true. There is always light above us. Our roof is like the roof of the forest, transparent. So, verily, there is no roof. We live under open heavens. Look above the treetops, O my soul. From thence flow the fountains of light. See how that blessed light streams through the wood. See how it fills and floods and overflows the air with its splendour. Hear the word of the Lord, thy light. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay himself upon his God. We have far too poor a conception of the intimacy with our God, which he desires should be habitual. We are satisfied with too little, and so we know too little of the light in the woods of life, that light which is always there. 4. For he is with us all the days and all day long. The words come from something Bishop Moule said to the boys of Sherborne School. A point of grammar can carry us to sometimes the very message of the Spirit. A tense, a case, a preposition, just because they are, in their measure, registers of the lightning play of thought, may make all the difference to the force and fullness of a scripture sentence. I do not think that I refine too much when I say that the original of all the days, by the extending power of the accusatives, may justify the paraphrase, I am with you all the days and all day long. There was a traveller who at first saw nothing of the light that was shining in the wood. After a while the thought moved softly, I am with you all the days and all day long. But just as a flower never presses its sweetness upon anyone, but freely gives to him who desires it, and to him as often as he will, so that thought of peace did not force itself upon the traveller, and yet it did lovingly offer to his lips a cup of healing. And then, but how it came to be so has never yet been told. The gloom of the darkness was gone. The light in the wood shone forth, and the glory thereof. 3. The Ravine. 1. There are level places high up in the forests which wrap our Indian mountains in evergreen, places where dawn is all green and gold, and any little stream that may be running there is first gold, then silver. But he who would reach the higher peaks which lie open to the sun must descend steep slopes and thread shadowy ravines. The dull grass of the photograph, so different from the sunlit tussocks of the earlier picture, the forbidding gloominess of the trees and the ravine, convey that feeling of depression that the ill know so well, and the tired and the very anxious. More courage is required for a walk downhill into shadow than for the plunge into the dark wood, which, after all, was splendidly lighted. That weary place is a place of memories. One of the readings of Psalm 42 sees the soul sharpening the knives of pain by remembering jubilant yesterdays. These things will I remember, how I passed on in the procession, how I marched with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, a festive crowd. Yes, we were one of the festive crowd. Was there any happy thing that we did not do? And we think of what used to be, so different from all that is now. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Was there ever a sad heart that did not feel like that? And yet we are ashamed of such feelings, and the stronger part of us tries to encourage the weaker. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Why droopest thou, O my soul, and frettest so upon me? Is another reading. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. But soon the sadness has its way again. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, my soul droops upon me. Blessed be the tender mercy that has given us the truthful story of such hours, and with that story the prayer of release. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. The mountain we are going to climb, the holy hill where his tabernacles are, is not in darkness. A broad beam of light falls upon that hill, a lighted path that leads to light like the pavement of heaven for clearness. It is all true. We know that it is true, and yet there is something in the trend of our thoughts that is like the backwash of the waves, as wave after wave breaks on the shore. We have looked up, we have seen the lovely radiance of that upper air, but our feet must walk the ways of earth down that dreary hill, past those sombre trees, and into the valley, before we can press up through the mist and stand under shining skies. There is nothing imaginary about the oppression of the enemy, but there is deliverance from that oppression. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. 2. I will remember thee from the place where I am. Perhaps that place is a quiet room near another room where the surgeons are busy about their work. You have things to do, furniture to arrange, a bed to prepare for the one who will soon be carried in. But though you try to be absorbed in these matters, you are far more in that other room, all but seeing what is going on there, all but hearing the quick words asking for this or that. and the clink of the instruments. How loudly the clock ticks, how slowly the minutes crawl. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Though evil tidings come, the fixed and trusting heart shall not be afraid. But you are afraid. So, is it that you do not trust? Is your heart not fixed? Do not stay to answer. There is a quicker way of help than that. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. Here where deep calleth unto deep, and the noise of the water spouts, those cataracts of trouble deafens me. Here, just where I am, from the land of fear, the land of suspense, will I remember thee. And instantly the Lord commands his loving kindness. Or your land of fear is different. It is the land where such words as these are vital. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? And yet you are afraid. And the minutes that crept so slowly outside the operation room are like running feet now. They are hurrying you to that same room. What can man do unto you? Much, every way. Like a small thing unsheltered, like mimosa in a thunderstorm, stems, leaves, flowers, involved in a common distress. That is how you feel till you remember your God. And then what happens? Who can tell? Whoever saw the passing of the spirit of heaviness, the putting on of the garment of praise? Only you know that the one has passed and the other has been put on. And you prove that the spirit of man, energized by the spirit of God, can defy the natural, and need not be, as it would naturally be, destroyed when it is cast down. Its word is always, cast down, but not destroyed. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me, even my own flesh. For no Christian man or woman was ever meant to walk on the natural plane. There is no provision made for such a walk. Always the expectation of God is that his child shall break through and live and endure as seeing the invisible, and there is full provision made for him to do this. My grace is sufficient for thee. And now you are compassed about with songs. As one in a garden or in the green wood at sunrise hears on all sides little snatches of song, a cadence or two, and sometimes long-sustained music of lovely liquid notes, so it is with you. Scriptures of comfort sing all around you now, and without effort on your part, words that make music are poured upon the inward ear. And when the strife is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. Alleluia! But that is another kind of music. The singers are as little seen as the birds among the green leaves of the trees, and yet, like the birds, they are our dear companions. They are the heavenly people of the cloud of witness who compass us about. For so the Lord commandeth his loving kindness. Beneath, above, behind, before, that loving kindness flows like broad rivers and streams. Where is fear then? Where is distress? The glorious Lord is unto us a place of broad rivers and streams wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. The ships of the enemy cannot sail those waters. It is a thing forbidden. Fear thou not, therefore, thou who art facing some inescapable trial of the flesh. The Lord thy God will bear thee as a nursling. The Lord is thy shepherd, thou shalt not want. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. We are all his lambs when we are ill. the days or hours before the postman comes when a painful letter is expected, the moment between receiving a telegram and tearing it open, who does not know that land? It is a burning land. Therefore will I remember thee. And the glowing sand becomes a pool, and we are quiet from fear of evil. There is also a sad-coloured land, which is not so full of fiery pangs as of one long ache. There is no suspense now. All is known. There is only a dull walk through a depressing valley, and up into a mist. Therefore will I remember thee, and light and truth are sent forth as guides, and goodness and mercy follow. It is a very dark valley, said a girl, as she looked at the photograph. Only the evening before she had heard that her feet must walk down those slopes and into the valley. An hour afterwards she was heard singing to herself. Far hast thou passed my prayer, good hast thou been to me, thy lover everywhere, blessed will cause me to be. And we who loved her knew that she had looked beyond the valley to the light upon the hills, and we knew that even the valley would be light about her. 3. This book may find one who must tread the ravine at its darkest. There are wrongs done to innocence that scorch the mind. The indignation of the Lord waits upon the wrongdoer. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If our scripture showed no righteous judge who has eyes like unto a flame of fire, the revelation of love incarnate would be a shimmering dream. But this does not help the tortured in the hour of torture. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me, as with a sword in my bones mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? And yet there is a lifting up. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. Thou shalt be called, My delight is in her. Thou shalt be called, My pleasure. Do not push the words away as too beautiful for you, you who have been trusted so. Tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. But though the Lord Omnipotent walk so near thy prison, thou shalt be left in prison. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That is the word for you. The father trusts his broken child to trust. If thou sink to dishonour, soar thou to love the honour of thy beloved, who is sufficient to honour all that love him. If thou be deceived and betrayed, rise thou in love even to the faithfulness of thy beloved, by whom thou shalt be neither deceived nor betrayed. If thou sink through fear, soar thou through love till thou be safe with thy beloved. It is to the trustful lover the beloved says, Fret not thyself because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Such words breathe so pure an air that only the faith that is born of love can live there. This but has come to pass could not have been had it not been allowed. Then love allowed it. But why? We do not know. We cannot understand. Wherein lies thy faith, O lover? My faith lies in this, that I believe things to be true that I understand not concerning my beloved. There is blessing prepared for the unoffended, and light no clouds of earth can smother beyond the mist of the ravine. And in the end they shall walk up that pathway of light with their beloved. They shall walk with...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?